This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, we have in the studio our next guest. We have Joel Bray, who's here with us to talk about his show, Daddy, and which is part of the Urimboy Festival, which is at the Art House. Welcome to the show, Joel.
Thank you so much.
How excited is it to be part of this festival?
It's incredible. So this is the second iteration of the festival. Yep. I actually moved back to Australia just in time for the first one 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it's an amazing... It's only been running for a couple of days, and I've already seen, I don't know, 10 different works in different... And it's incredible.
There's a lot
and
on, isn't there?
There's a lot on, and it's a really great rigour and really high quality. And it's... a lot of work is kind of super proud. It's like black and proud. Mm. And it's an absolute honour to be programmed a part of it. Brilliant. And actually, can I jump in?
Yeah.
There is in my new show that we're going to be talking about, there's a Yazoo track.
Oh, there you go.
That I excavated from my...
We knew that.
We're all cosmically connected. It's amazing.
Now, Neil was going to ask you a big question. Your history?
Sorry, I thought you for a while then, David. You threw me off. Now, Joel, we'd like to start off by talking a little bit about you and mm-hmm. how you got interested in the art. So tell us a little bit about how you got interested. Where did you start to get where you are now?
Well, excuse me. I was a bookworm nerd at school. I didn't do anything athletic, musical or artistic. And then I was at university and I was studying law and I was... bored out of my brain.
Why did you choose law? Was it family or was it you?
Oh, it was just one of those situations where I got really good marks at school, so everyone was like, are you going to be a lawyer or are you going to be a doctor?
Those grades.
And actually, I didn't. I first started dancing at NASDA, which is the National Aboriginal and Islander Dance School.
Mm. And where's that?
At that time, it was in Sydney. Now they've moved up to the Central Coast.
Okay.
And I wasn't actually so much interested in dancing. I was more interested in, because I was brought up by my white mother. I had connection with my Aboriginal father, but I was more interested in being a part of a black community and learning a bit more about my roots and about my culture.
Yeah. Mm.
But then, of course, 5 minutes into the first dance class on the first day, it was like one of those, you know.
You found your calling.
I found my calling. Road to Damascus experience.
So how old were you then?
I was 20.
Oh, so because a lot of dancers start out as children, like young children, I guess. So you're a bit of a late bloomer. So
yeah.
Great.
I'm always the oldest person in the room.
Very good. Well, not today, Joel, let me tell you. Not today.
Yeah, I'm in the room, so you're definitely not. So what happened after that? You know, like how long did you stay with them?
I studied with NASDA for 2 years and then I went to Whopper in Perth.
Okay. Yep. God, that's a bit of a round the Australia trip to get there.
It's a very good school, though, Whopper.
It's a great school, yeah. I literally chose it based on they had more hours in the studios and other programs. That was the highly scientific way I chose.
Because we get a lot of Whopper here, and Neil being from Perth, you know, like his ears always prick up.
Yes, there's a lot of good talent coming out of Whopper.
It's a great program.
Yeah, cool. And so you did that course, mm-hmm. and where did you end up then?
I flew to Europe, maxed out my credit card, had no real plan, just knew that I wanted to go overseas. And I did a few internships in France and then I got a job in a little company in Portugal for a year and I fell in love with an Israeli dancer and then we moved to Israel and I spent the next 9 years dancing and living there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an adventure.
And is the relationship still going?
No.
Oh, that's bad luck. But anyway, nine years.
Though, yeah, but I made a great work out of the breakup. That was my first. That was my first solo. Billetterung was
right.
Inspiration from heartbreak.
Yeah.
So what's it like? But you're a dancer, and then all of a sudden you start to choreograph. Yeah, tell us how. Is that just a natural progression?
No, not at all. I mean, at some point, people do start to ask, dancers start to ask what they want to do next, but a lot of them will go on to do physiotherapy or become teachers or go into
because it's a tough world, isn't it? And, you know, like all of a sudden you could get an injury and that's over.
Yes. So you do your best to avoid that situation.
Touch wood.
But yeah, I mean, like I was very fortunate. I started to come back to Australia because I started to work with Chunky Move here. And Anouk van Dyck, who was the previous artistic director.
Amazing.
Up until, yeah, a wonderful woman. She's developed this movement methodology that called Counter Technique, and it really is about learning to move bigger with less effort and being much more caring for your body in the way you dance. And so I found myself at 35, 36, actually dancing better with more stamina, higher jumps, more flexibility than I was 10 years ago when I was supposed to be, quote unquote, in my prime as a dancer. So right now at 38, I'm kind of feeling like I don't have a use by date. I don't know, let's see. Stay posted, but I'm feeling great.
Hanging in there.
And I have people all the time going, oh, you know, must be getting close now, aren't you? Nah, I'm loving it.
Well,
I'm just going to keep going.
But hold on. That's like such a silly thing for these days because, you know, like we are looking after our bodies more, you know, like, and especially in your world that you're working on, and the fact that you had such an amazing mentor as you did, it's opened a whole new world, has it? And you don't, you know, like if you can still dance, why not?
Yeah, and of course now I choose what I dance. So if something hurts, I just don't do it. Or like, for instance, there's not so many jumps in my work anymore.
Yeah.
Just be kinder to yourself.
Now, we're going to move into this piece that you've got part of the festival. How did it come about and why did you want to become part of this festival, which is obvious reasons, but tell us.
Yeah, well, I, like I said, I landed 2 years ago for the first iteration of the festival, and there was no doubt in my mind I wanted to be a part of it. It's a First Nations festival, so it's not just from Australia, but also from Aotearoa, from New Zealand, North America, Taiwan.
That's right.
And there is an incredible resurgence at the moment, a kind of a renaissance of Indigenous art, both here and abroad, and I just wanted to be a part of that. Yeah. And this work in particular is actually, it's had the longest birthing of any of my works. I started working on this late 2017. And I was originally, the creative process is endlessly curious. So it actually started off, I got excited by the story of Tantalus, which is this old ancient Greek myth where Tantalus was condemned to spend eternity in a pool of water with a tree of fruit over his head. And every time he went to eat, the wind would blow the fruit away. And every time he dipped to drink, the water would recede. And that's where we get the word tantalize from.
That's right, yep. Mm.
So that's where it started. And it's come a long way. It's a completely different work now.
Mm. Right. And what form do you take? Are you the person that can't, you know, like, get the fruit or the water?
Well, the form that I work with is autobiographical solos. Mm. So this one is about me. It's called Daddy. So my dad is sure it's about him. but it's actually...
Give away there.
But it's actually about me, my relationship with the patrilineal, the lineage through my father, because it's through my father that I have access to my culture.
Yep.
Or don't have access to my culture, as actually is the case. And as well as, the men I have sex with and the way I use sex to fill the sense of lack that I have in my life. This is the most vulnerable work I've made. I really like...
Very personal.
Open yes. myself up, mm. yeah.
Okay,
wow.
So kind of, can I just go back a little bit, Joel, about this work? Because you did mention earlier about the dance and you wanted to get in touch with your cultural heritage. Mm-hmm. Now, after doing the dance and then sort of leaving the country, had you found what you were looking for, or is that all part of the journey that you've been on and sort of that's what this show is a little bit about as well?
I would say I partially found what I was looking for.
Did you find your father? Because you didn't mention that.
I've always been in...
Oh, okay.
Relationship with my father,
right.
Yeah.
But it's the culture you wanted to.
Yeah,
discover.
But I didn't through him. Like when you're a kid, you don't. It doesn't occur to you to ask the questions.
Of course you don't.
So I didn't know very much about my own personal family, my family's history.
Yeah.
Or about I'm Wiradjuri, which is a big chunk of central New South Wales.
Yep.
That's our country, and I knew very little about it. And then I went to NASDAQ, and what was good about it was I was in a community with other black fellas for the first time. And I did get to learn dance. The thing is, we were taught Yolngu dancing. So we were taught dance from up in Arnhem Land, which, if you think about it, is the equivalent of like Berlin from Lisbon away.
Yeah.
And if you think of the difference between German and Portuguese culture, that's pretty much what it would have been like before the colonizer arrived here. So I was kind of handed, your bridge to get back to your culture is by learning someone else's culture. And I found that, and still find that, immensely unsatisfying.
Would you like to change that? Would you like to start up a school and teach what your region is all about?
I don't think that's my mission. In fact, there's a more fundamental step that we need to do, which is to... Because the genocide south in the south was so absolute, we actually don't really have our dances extant. There's some records that have been left. There's some people who remember scraps, and there's some people... But actually, most of the dancing that's being taught is actually being kind of created afresh.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know, it has always been an evolving culture. So, you know, the dancing that was happening 300 years ago was different from the dancing that was happening 600 years ago.
Yep.
So just because it's being recreated afresh now doesn't mean it is any less legitimate.
Yep.
But that's the process we need to go through first. Before we can teach anyone, we have to make it.
But you also made a point, and I didn't want to stop you at the time, that it sounds as if you were hinting that you haven't really got the support that you would like within what you're doing with your culture. Am I not sort of... did I
from
read
from
that wrong?
Who do you mean? From whom?
Well, I don't know. You're like, as if you're like that. There was a reason you're not achieving as much as what you'd like to with your heritage.
I would say that, and I would say, and this is an experience that's really common for a lot of Indigenous people, especially those of us from the southeast, there is a real yearning and a real hunger, a thirst for the culture which was taken away from us. And there's this really, we're in an exciting moment in history where we're talking about cultural reclamation. For instance, there's an incredible Wiradjuri artist based here in Melbourne, S.J. Norman, who is exploring, I can't remember, there's a particular word for it, I can't remember what the particular word, but the ritual cutting of the body. So kind of bringing back elements of our culture that were taken away from us. Actually, I'm feeling immensely supported at the moment by festivals like Year and Boy, by Arts House, who are hosting the work.
Yeah. Don't they do a wonderful job, Arts House?
Arts House are amazing.
Yeah.
They're amazing. And actually, that's what this work is about. In the end, this work is about the frustration of not being able to do my culture, not being able to dance the dances, sing the songs, speak the language, undertake the rituals that would have been a part of everyday life. Yeah. And this is actually, the third solo that I've made about this. And I'm getting a little bit sick. I'm getting a little bit sick of talking about the same thing. But...
Right.
You obviously believe there needs to be told still.
Yeah.
Now, what, you know, like after this, what's next? Are you starting to plan? You know, like what you might like to move into?
Yeah. So my next work is actually going to be trying to create something. Sorry, how do I describe it? I want to try and start creating some work that might actually propose rituals, contemporary rituals for Wiradjuri people.
I guessed that. I knew that's where you were going.
Yeah.
And I reckon it's a very exciting time for you. You know, like, and you're in that right mindset, I think, aren't you, to make these new moves for yourself?
Yeah. I'm starting off with, I've been awarded the National Library of Australia Creative Arts Fellowship.
Oh, brilliant.
So I'm going to be spending a couple of months there. There's boxes and boxes and boxes of unpublished and largely unread first-hand descriptions by anthropologists and missionaries and linguists who worked with Wiradjuri people and actually mob from all over the southeast. And I'm going to go and spend, I'm going to put my white gloves on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go and sit for a couple of months and just read through all of it. I'm excited to see what might have been observed. And then take what I find back to the elders and start a conversation about how we might be able to start resurrecting some of this stuff.
Wow, that is an amazing opportunity. Mm. Yeah.
And where is that? In Canberra?
That'll be in Canberra.
Right, yeah. Okay. And what about your next work? Or do you think your next work will come from what you discover?
Yeah, that'll be my next work. I'm also in parallel, I'm starting to work with a few dancers on what might be the movement language of this work. And so I'm kind of, I've got a few poles in the water. Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
Lovely.
So this one's called?
Daddy.
And when's it on?
We preview on Wednesday, open on Thursday, and go through till Sunday at Arts House.
Right, of course, Arts House. And what festival are you part of?
A part of Yirrumboy, very proudly.
Brilliant. Thank you. Lovely to see you again.
You too.
Bye. Thanks for coming in. Right.
Thank you.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.